What the world? Well, we got Doc back. I guess that Gemara, you know, you missed the Gemara. We had a lot of fun at your expense. The Gemara was talking about the difference between Rotav and Kippa. And all the Mefarshim say Kippa means Doc. Everybody started asking, so where is he? So the daf made you doubly missed. Very good. Okay, today's daf in Masechet Nedarim, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Nun Gimel. And this is our final daf for this perek, Bezrat Hashem, which means that Doc's got to get into some really serious practice here while we learn, just in case Richie doesn't show. And we're right at the Halakha Mishnah, right at the top of the daf. Hanoder min ha-temarim, mutar bidvash temarim. So now we've been talking about the idea of derivatives over here. Something in which an ingredient is derived from something else, or a different form of this something else appears. And the question is whether that is also usur. And we also were concerned with situations in which an ingredient changes its name or it adds an additional term to its previous names. You could have milk whey, which then, if it's established as milk whey, so that Rabbi Yossi said, that makes it part of milk. If you wouldn't have used the word whey, milk whey, so then enochinami, it wouldn't have been part of. Now here we're going to see some further points that make it clear that things are not as simple as they seemed before. Let's take a look at the case where somebody answers himself from dates. So anoder min ha-tmarim. Now this is very shocking. Mutar bidvash tmarim. He's allowed to eat date honey. I mean, you'd think that that's the same as the situation that we had before, right? Well, we're going to talk about what the difference is. Misitvaniot. Misitvaniot, it comes to the word stav, of course, which is fall or winter in the Lashon Gemara. He's mutter, and it's referring to a type of grape that stays on the vine and doesn't really mature. It's quite sour, and it's there in the fall and winter. Mutar b'chomet sitvaniot. Those grapes are essentially used for making a type of vinegar, which is a specific type of vinegar called chomet sitvaniot. And despite the fact that they are derived directly from these sitvaniot, which are the grapes themselves, nonetheless, it seems to be that everybody here is matir. It does not seem to jive with the Gemara that we had before, which we'll talk about in a moment. Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera Omer, whenever you have a derivation that also has the name of the original product connected to it, then he's also on the derivative. So what we said before, it seems to be just repeating the Tanakhama, because it says Chachamim Matirin, but that's how we started. We started by saying that your mutter b'chomet sitvaniot, and that's what the Chachamim are doing over here. They're saying your mutter b'chomet sitvaniot. I don't understand exactly what the difference is between them. So that the Gemara is going to ask, we're going to need to define how there are really three different shitot in this Mishnah, the Tanakhama, Rabbi Yehuda ben Betera, and the Chachamim in the Seifa, even though the Chachamim in the Seifa seem to be repetitive of the Reisha. But the biggest question, which the Gemara doesn't talk about, is why when we had the Machlokas of Rabbi Yossi before with the Chachamim, when we were talking about kum, which is whey, we're talking about it in terms of milk protein, and chalav, so everybody was made over there that if you call something kum hachalav, so it's called milk protein specifically, so then everybody was made that it would be usur. And over here, for some reason, we're saying that that's not true. We're saying everybody's moda here that it's mutter. You know, it's the same thing. Dvash of the tamarim is the same thing as milk, protein of milk, right? Or whey of milk. Sounds exactly the same. So there's two basic approaches to the differences between the sugyas. Rashba has one approach, and the Ran has another approach. So the Rashba's approach is that the presence of the whey in milk, the removal of the milk solids, does not really change the actual whey. In other words, it was always the same liquid that it was before. And therefore, if it's called Al-Shem Nechalav, which is where it came from, so over there, nothing has really changed when we take it out. It still remains.
It's the same way it was.
Yes, but if you didn't have to interrupt, it wouldn't be so bad. You know, I take your interruptions very seriously. I'm sitting there, oy vey, what did I say wrong? What did I leave out? What did I...
It's a great way to remember it. That's how to say it. No, it's fantastic.
Okay, so that's the Rashba's approach. The Ran has a very creative approach. It's very beautiful, actually. The Ran says that when you're talking about chometz sitfaniyot, or you're talking about date honey, the reason that you're mentioning the dates and the reason that you're mentioning the sitvaniyot is in order to make it distinctions from the other types of honey, right? So you're talking, this is date honey and that's bee honey. And this is sitvaniyot vinegar and that is wine vinegar. So there it has nothing to do. I'm not interested in being masker, the shame of the source. I'm not saying that this is a product that is so defined. The product is it's vinegar. Now you want to know what kind of vinegar you're buying. Okay, so you may be looking for apple vinegar. You may be looking for wine vinegar. So I have to tell you where it comes from. But that's totally different than the case before, where the only place where you have whey is from milk. If that's the same thing, milk protein, that would be wrong according to the Ran, because milk protein indeed is there in order to tell you the difference between milk protein and soy protein, let's say. But if you're just saying whey, milk whey, well, what else could whey be from? So therefore, it's actually a desire to connect the source of the product to the derivative, and over there it becomes usser. Very, very clear distinction, no? Anyway, those are the two basic approaches, which means that our Mishnah is not really related to the previous discussion at all. Now, so we say in the Mishnah that everybody is matir. The Tanakhama over here is certainly the same as the Chachomi Matir. And at the end, it's Rabbi Yehuda who makes the nafkamina of the shame. So Chachomi Mainu Tanakhama, isn't that the same thing? So why are these two separate shitas? No, there's a big difference, I'll tell you. If you take a look in the Braisa, you will see the third shita. And that shita is the shita of the Chachamim. The Braisa says like this. Klal zeh, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar made a standard klal. Kol shedarko le'echol, v'derech hayotzei mimenu le'echol. So you have something which is eaten as it is, naturally. And it also has a derivative which people eat, such as, of course, dates and date honey. So there, if you made a neder that asers the date, so then you're also in the date honey. If you made a neder from the date honey, you would also be aser in it. But korsha endar kol echol, if, however, something is not normally eaten by itself, nobody eats sitvaniyot, they're sour, and you don't eat them like you would eat a grape, but you do use them to make a vinegar, which anyway is sour, so it has a special taste to it. So over there, if you took a neder about that, And what it was that is eaten is only that derech hayotze bimenu is le'achol. So even when you made a neder about the sitvaniot, we understand that, well, nobody eats sitvaniot. And therefore, when you said sitvaniot arasu, you meant sitvaniot derivative, that is to say, the famous food that's made from sitvanios, which is vinegar. So the your usher and sitvinios vinegar. Eno usher alabayotz vimenu. Shalonit kavein said, because we can take for granted that that is what he was referring to, because you don't eat the ikar food. And shalonit kavein said, elo liyotze mimenu. So that is what this is about. This means that the chachamim at the end of the Mishnah, they agree with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. But the Tanakama does not. So in other words, according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't make any difference whether you're rogel to eat it and you're rogel to eat the derivative. It makes absolutely no difference. If you make the netter from the thing itself that's usser, and the derivative is mutter, and therefore the vinegar would be mutter. The Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that whether it's something that you do eat or something that you don't eat, you're always only going to be usher on the thing. If you ushered it, you're going to be usher on the thing and the derivative, assuming that it's called by the name, which is, of course, the case here. We call the chometz chometz sidfaniyot, and we call the dvash dvash tamarim. Masha Enk and Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that there's a difference between something where I normally wouldn't eat the thing and only eat the derivative, and something when I would eat both. So over there, he's saying that there's a nafkamina, and we don't asher the thing itself. So then that would mean that where if the Chachomim hold this, then they're arguing on the Tanakhama and on Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and they represent entirely a third shita. Because according to what they're saying, even something that is not rogel to be eaten, and he makes a neder on it, he's usher on it, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and the Das of the Chachamim is that no, if it's something that you don't eat, then bedavka, you're only usher on the derivatives. That means that we have three completely different shitas over here. Excellent. That would be a big nafkamina lahalacha. We're ready for the next Mishnah, and Sir Richard arrived just in time to steal the Mishnah from Doc. He's not happy. I know, but you weren't here when we were saying you weren't here.
That may be true, because I don't remember hearing it. Zuktehileka
Mishnah. Hanoder min hayayin. Mutar b'yein tapuchim. When you ask yourself on wine, what you mean is the standard wine that always, it just goes by the name wine, as opposed to other types of wine where we always use an additional adjective, so we would call it yain tapuchim. Same in our shemen. So then shemen, of course, we're going to see that this depends on your location, obviously. Mutar b'shemen shum shemen. Who in the world would drink sesame oil if you really have olive oil handy? Well, it depends where you live. I mean, when Gavi goes out to his backyard, he just picks some olives, you know, squeezes them. He's got his shemen zayin. Not that easy. But of course, the Gemara is going to explain that there are different places, and that we're talking about over here, where shemen zayin is the standard, like in Eretz Yisrael. Min hadvash mutar bidvash tamarim, because that would be defined. And stam dvash is dvash from bees. Min hachometz, mutar b'chometz sitvaniyot. Min hakreshin, you're not going to eat leeks. You're allowed to eat kaplutot. I'm not quite sure how these differ. They're a different type of leek that has a thicker top, but I'm not quite sure what they're called in English. Mina yerek. Somebody, now, this is interesting because nowadays we have not preserved this meaning. But it used to be that when you talked about a yerek, you meant specifically greens. We're going to see later on the Shaila about, I mean, would that include tomatoes? Would it include pumpkins and so on? So those are not considered to be Yerek at that time. But, and we, in fact, we distinguish in terms of the Kalibah the Rebuta and in terms of the Baracha, so that the Pri Ha'adama would be different from the greens of the field. But here, we're talking about things that are grown in the Gina and things that are picked in the wild. And those things, when you talk about Yarkot HaSadeh, you always mention these are Yarkot HaSadeh, these are wild X. So then, if that's the case, it becomes a Shem Levi, and it comes with the adjective, and therefore is not considered to be that mean. So is it really true that olive oil is the oil that is always called Stam oil? Tanya, not necessarily. It actually depends on where. Hanoder min ha-shemen be'eretz Yisrael, mutar be'shemen shumshemin. They did not used to use sesame oil. They use shemen zayit. So therefore, he's also b'shemen zayit, which is the stam oil. On the other hand, if you're in Bavel, they didn't have olives, and therefore it's osir b'shemen shumshemin. So sesame would be the standard oil, and you would be mutter in olive oil. Mokum shemiz tapki mizeh mizeh asur b'zeh b'zeh. If both are used, so then they're included. Well, isn't that obvious? I mean, why wouldn't they be? No, it's not at all obvious. Because, look, suppose almost everybody uses olive oil. And just a few people, or the opposite today, everybody is using canola oil or something like that. And the few diehards insist on only using olive oil. So then maybe you would think, okay, so let's go according to the Rov, right? So the case, therefore, in the Mishnah is that even though Ruba, in the Braisa, is that the Ruba minchad mistapkin, and you would have thought that Ma'adat Tema is Rabasa Ruba. So then we should say that the defining term goes according to the majority of people. Kamash Malan, Safaki Surah Lechumra, and that when we have the Halacha, that when it comes to Nidorim, we go Lechumra. The question over here is, would this be the definition of the neder, or would it be an actual suffix in which we're going with Chorma? The nafkamina would be whether we give Malkus or not, right? We're not going to give Malkus on a suffix. But if we have we said before is that Nedorim are Lechumra, then it would be a din in neder, not stam a din in suffix iser. Yet the Gemara uses the word over here in Suffolk Yisur Lechumra, which is mashma, that we have a Suffolk Lagabi, the din of the netter over here. This is actually a big issue. The Meister Rambam Paskins, that there is no Malkus, and that you would only get Malkus on the one that the Rov is using. Hanodim in Ayerek. Now, let's go more into the Sugya in the Braisa, that explains the Mishnah's differentiation between Yerek and the Yerek HaSadeh. Well, actually, over there, it doesn't make an afkamina in the place, but it does make an afkamina in the year. Because if it's Shemitah, well, then you don't have Yerek Hagina, because nobody's planting Yerekot, and therefore the Yerekot that are there are the Yerekot of the Sadeh. So therefore, Hanoder mina Yerek. If it's Bishar Shnei HaShavua, not during Shemitah, so then the Stam Yerek would be Yarkot Hagina, and you would be Mutter from wild Yerekot. Ubashvi'it, where there isn't any grown Yarkot Gina, Asur B'Yarkot HaSadeh, Mutar B'Yarkot Hagina. But, says Rabbi Avu, Mishum Rabbi Chanina Ben Gamliel, this distinction in when also is a distinction in where, the when would apply. So here we have the where, the when. What would that mean? Well, because even during Shemitah, there's places in Eretz Yisrael, you wouldn't believe this, they import veggies from Turkey. My goodness. Shanu ela b'makom she'ein mevi'im yarak b'chutz la'aretz la'aretz during Shemitah. But in a place where they do, which we'll see as a machlokas, b'makom she'mevi'im yarak b'chutz la'aretz la'aretz, over there it would be aser, because then people still use yarak gina. But there's not enough yarak gina for that to be the only meaning. So therefore, during Shemitah, we have a different situation, where it means both Yerek Inah and Yerek Sadeh in the event that this is a place where there's imported Yerekot. Ketanoi. And the truth is, it's not just a difference in Minog or something like that. It's a difference in Psak, because the question of whether you're allowed to import vegetables is a Machlokes Tanoi. Because it says here, according to the Tanakhama, Ein Mevi'im Yerek Bichutz La'aretz La'aretz. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel omer, mevi'im yarek michutz la'aretz. What's the svara of not importing? Why would that be? My time, demandi omar, ein mevi'im? Well, the reason is because of the chashash of tuma. Remember that the Chachomi made a gezera on Eretz Ha'amim. And part of that gezerah was Gush Eretz Amim, not only Avir of Eretz Amim. So since the Goyim are not careful about where they bury, and particularly we're assuming that there's a lot of hanky-panky going on, and therefore a lot of those nuns are burying those their aborted fetuses all over the place. So, boy, we cynical Jews. Anyway, so because of that, we consider any earth that might be connected over here to the Yerakot that you're bringing in might be metame things in Eretz Yisrael. Because of that, we didn't allow you to import the vegetables because of the concern for the gush. Yes, Reb Barnea. You're muted, thank heavens.
I, in response to this Gemara, did a search. I posted here in the chat. In the 5th century BCE, Herodotus wrote that sesame was the only oil used in Babylonia. And archaeologically, it goes back much further in the region, the use of sesame oil. It was the, it's Ramamish bringing out that it was the oil of Bava.
Wow. Beautiful. Thank you. Which brings us to Sir Richard, who is not a big chassid of sesame oil, but...
For Chinese food, I always use it. You know, if I'm making a stir fry, but aside from that, olive oil.
Nah.
Mediterranean oil. You know, for the Mediterranean diet, and it's so healthy for all of us.
So this Mishnah has a very strange use of the word asparagus. Because remember, all over Shas, everyone is shocked to discover that asparagus is a drink. And over here, the Mishnah seems to be contrasting asparagus with cabbage. And in fact, there are Rishonim who say that this asparagus is the standard asparagus, which is a vegetable drink. So that this would be one of the derivative issues. But most of Rishonim learn that it's really asparagus and that it has resemblances to kruv, you know, so Belgian kruv maybe. Okay. But in any event, it's pretty unclear exactly what vegetable we're talking about, if we're talking about a vegetable. But if someone makes a neder from kruv, he's also asparagus, because the general term kruv includes all of these kruv-like things, but if you make a netter from asparagus, then you're mutter bikruv. Now, the next piece in the Mishnah is something that is not very common today, at least in America. And in France, it's still quite common. There they have this concept of potage. And this potage, which became in English, I think it's the same thing, pottage in English, but potage is actually almost gelled. It's very, very thick. It's very, very thick stew. and you make it from vegetables or fish or vegetables and meat and so on. And it includes even such vegetables that will gel up in a thick mixture, as we'll see there later on, like garlic. So that's where some Rishonim learn. Others learn that garlic is such a primary ingredient in these potages, which are called mikpah here. Mikpah actually is much more like a gel. It's something that has frozen up. So it's the same word as kafu. So then that means it's like it's hardened. And but it still is really technically a liquid because you could pour it out. So the question over here is when you're normally eating grisin. Now grisin, again, in modern terms, we don't use grisin. We use at least in America. I don't know, you know, because corn is so nafutz there that the original grisin, which came from beans, has turned into grits, which is similar to the word grits, grisin, but that's made out of corn. It's made out of crushed corn. Okay, but originally it was beany. So anyway, if you made a neder from grisin, so then you're not allowed to eat the mikvah because that was the standard of how it is that you make grisin. So you would take oil and garlic, and then you would have whatever, if you were using beans, nowadays corn, or whatever, so you'd make it a very, very thick soup that finally would become close to solid. So there, minagrisin, you're also be mikpah, because that's standard, whereas Rabbi Yossi says it has a different name. And as Rabbi Yossi said before, we don't consider that to be included, so he's matir. Mina mikpah mutar begrisin, because over there, of course, the mikpah is a very special way of preparing it. So then you would be, if you just have the, let's call it grits, but understanding that it's not what the Gemara means at the time. Today we use the word differently. So then the grits themselves would be mutar. Mina, again, remember that these mishnayos are meant to be insights into the closest that you can get to it in your contemporary terms. That's why I feel it's kedai to give the more contemporary usage of it and to see how a Mishnah could easily fit the concept of the Mishnah into modern foods. Mina mikba asur b'shum. So over here again, as I mentioned earlier, the question is whether we're talking about shum being such an important component of it, and it's always used in a mikvah, so therefore it must be that you're really focused on the garlic. That's the Rosh's explanation. The other Rishonim say a mikvah of shum, where you crush garlic and you let the garlic harden till it was almost a mikvah on its own. Rabbi Yossi, again, is matir, because they have completely different ways, words that refer to them. Min hashum, for sure, mutar ben mikvah, because even if you want to say that mikvah extends even to shum, it's certainly not going to be a primary mikvah. Min hadashim. So somebody, this was the sugi we had earlier, min hadashim asur ba'ashishim, and this was the case that we brought before where Rabbi Yossi was matir. And you remember that over there, when we had the sugya earlier, when we asked it as Akasha, how could Rabbi Yossi say the thing itself is going to be mutter just because it was fried in honey, which, by the way, is only the Ron's pshat. But anyway, that's the pshat that we use there, because it was fried in honey. And then to say that when it comes to a derivative, like the whey, that it would be usser, weird. So we explained that there, because of the word milk that's used together with the whey. Okay, but all of that really was based on the way that the Ran understood the issue, which was fried in honey. Not everybody agrees that frying in honey is the explanation, although the Ran's explanation shows up in the Yerushalmi. But the Rosh learns that it's some type of psolet. It's like what falls to the bottom in a container of Adashim. And the Rambam has yet another pshat. The Rambam learns that it's talking about ground-up lentils. Rashi has another pshat, which is that it's lentils that are put into a bread recipe. Okay, in any event, we'll have to fit the sugya before into, so it covers all of these, which is easy to see. Now, how about if somebody uses the word we had before, dug, daga, which the person over there wanted to include different types, small fish and larger fish. How about if you say chita and chitin, shani to'im? So then it doesn't matter what the wheat is, because usually you would use the word chita, like a single chita. I mean, people don't eat a single chita. If you're going to be chewing chita, then you're going to be chewing chitim. So if you're talking about a chita, what you mean is a standard thing made out of chita. So that would be maybe a wheat bread or a wheat cookie. Go over there, you're talking about the ingredient is wheat. So then if you say wheats, what chitim, so then you would be talking about chewing on them. So there, if you say both, chita, chitim, you would be usher in them, whether it's kemach, whether it's pat. If you say grease, greasim, usher ben ben chayim ben mevushalim. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, if you would say konim grease or chita, then you would actually be allowed, many learn that he's not arguing, he's just explaining. You would be allowed to chew them. Lakus, remember, is always what we use to mean eating something in a way that isn't standard. So when you chew on a chita, you just keep chewing, then obviously it's not going to be one chita. You chew on a chitim that you pick off of the actual stalk. Tanya, Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, somebody talks about chita, shani to'im, so then he's not allowed to have them if they're baked, but he's mutter if he's eating them straight from the ground, which is basically the same idea that we just saw in Reb Yehuda. Chita chitim, then he's aser ben lakos or ben leafot. How about if he says grease, shani toim? Grease, nobody eats one grease, so you'd be aser levashel mutar lakos. If you say grisim shani toim, aser lakos umutar levashel. If you want to answer both, and you say gris grisim, oser bein levashel, bein lachos, hadron aloch hanoder min hamevushal. Yeah, but then you'd have to be here.
I can't always guarantee.
Well, then you better do it now. Another minayarek mutar bidluim. Now the questions again: is a pumpkin not a vegetable? Is it a green? No, it's not. Is a tomato not a vegetable? A prihadama. Okay, so that's what we're going to be talking about in the next part. Here we've been talking about derivatives, and in the next part we're going to be talking about more in line of the species. What species do we mean when we talk about a particular thing? So we'll restart that Mishnah tomorrow, just in case Richie isn't there. You know, we have to start it tonight. But wishing you, meanwhile, Shavua Tov, Hine El Yeshua Si, Eftach V'lo Efchad. Hoping everyone has a wonderful week. Surah Tevis. Looking forward to a Rosh Chodesh, although it's really coming up on next Shabbos. We already were thinking about it, dreaming about it. Hey, hey, the month passed almost without noticing. What are we going to do? We're going to have more shiurim, I think.
Don't forget Hanukkah.
No, I'm not forgetting at all.